Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Sorry for the delay. I've had so many equipment failures in the last 2 days. Back to Draftmas. This is the episode about edges. So the Lions have three distinctive roles that you could say falls under the edge category. The first one, let's start with the lunch pail guy. He plays the edge on four-man fronts, unless the Lions are going NASCAR. Then he kicks inside on three techniques. And in the Lions' five-man fronts, he plays the five technique, 3-4 defensive end for those of you who are keeping score of that kind of thing. Bare fronts, he's probably playing inside over the guard. He also spells other edges at the wider spots as needed, or like fatigue or injury. This is the John Kaminsky job. The Lions also been trying to get Josh Pascal to play this role, but he keeps getting hurt doing it, so they might take somebody at this spot. It's thankless. It is really hard on the player, and you need more than one of these if it's a role you actually want to have in your defense, because if this guy gets hurt, you are then trying to cobble what he did together with three separate guys. Not a good situation to be in the middle of a game, figuring out who can do all the things that you were planning on doing. There's a reason Kaminsky was the guy who got the day off in the Lions last season when they weren't really playing for, or last game of the season when they weren't really playing for anything. When you see Darius Robinson walk to the Lions, this is kind of the spot that he would likely be filling. And the idea that you could use a upgrade in terms of production from the spot isn't super ridiculous. Like, Kaminsky does a lot of really difficult things. He's a very good piece. Doesn't put up a lot of counting stats. Really solid role player. But I think Robinson's probably going to be gone before the Lions pick. I'm going to go over him a little bit later. Second role, flamethrower off the edge. That's your James Houston spot. This guy might also play some linebacker as the strong side guy in heavier formations, drop into coverage a little bit from the edge spot, more so than the other edges would. But primarily, this is, at this point, with the players that they have, kind of a third down and two-minute drill role, where the guy's basically rushing the passer. I kind of expect Houston and the linebackers, likely kind of Derek Barnes mostly, to split this role. But the Lions might want to bring in someone who could turn this into a bigger role. Like when you see Chop Robinson mock the Lions, this is the role he would likely upgrade, turning it into more of a full-time thing. Smaller edges with extreme athleticism, that's this guy. The third guy, it's just your standard edge. He might stand up on 2 feet in some formations, but he's coming on almost every play. If he drops, it's because they're blitzing a corner and someone has to run to the flat, just in case the corner doesn't get there. This is Aiden Hutchinson. He's keeping anything from going outside in the running game, rushing the passer. Just your standard edge. Not too big, not too small. Just right in the Goldilocks lexicon. The one relatively unifying feature between the players that the Lions have picked for their edge spots is that relative to their size, they are very good athletes and good run stoppers. Now, not all great run stoppers, but if you're a 240-pound edge, you are going to be a good run stopper for a 240-pound edge. Like, you'll almost always hear that the Lions' edge draft pick has had a ludicrously high PFF run stopping grade. Let's see. I don't think Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, or Liatu Latu are going to be there, so I don't really see a lot of point in talking about them. They are all awesome, and the Lions should take them if they get the opportunity. Those are three players they should trade up for. If you've been watching any kind of draft coverage, you've been hearing about them for as long as you've been paying attention to any kind of draft coverage. Latu is the injured guy, Dallas is the smaller guy, Verse is the... just good. I think those guys and probably both of the Robinsons are going to be gone before pick 25, so I'm not going to spend a whole ton of time on them. So I'm going to talk about some guys I think the Lions might actually be able to take. I'm going to start with Marshawn Neyland, because he's been getting a lot of buzz to the Lions. I don't think this is a first-round guy. I'm not saying he's a bad player. 6'3", 267, relative athletic score over 9. Looks a lot like Josh Pascal did coming out of college to me. Like, he's a power-based guy more than bent. He is an upright player who is a really good athlete, but not bendy. So are they going to bring him in, get him to bulk up, and make him do the Kaminsky role too? Like, I don't love this. But player's good. Get him around 2-3. Awesome. Let's go. But as far as that, like, round one, what you're looking to get out of that round, I don't see the punch. Like, I don't think there's much of a chance that you end up picking up this guy's fifth round option if you select him in the first round. Braylon Trice, this player the Lions have been linked to as well. When people were talking about him earlier in the year as like a top 15 pick, I was 100% out on this player. So if you had conversations with me about him at that point and you're like, Ash, why are you bringing him up right now? Because now we're talking about him like he might go in the third. And okay, cool. You get him in the third, either through trades or whatever. Or, you know, let's say he falls into the fourth, you trade up for that. Or if it was even the fifth. This is kind of where we're looking at for Trice right now. He's a really good football player. But his relative athletic score is about 7.5, and he's only 245 pounds, which is not what you want from a guy who's that size. But again, he's a really good football player. So I think the Lions might like that enough to make that decision. He would basically be a Hutch backup, which is fine. Probably get a bunch of the snaps that Romeo Okwara and Charles Harris were taking last year, and 1/7 the cash. Production can't really get a whole bunch worse than it was. Let's look at a super late round guy that they brought in for a visit. His name is Nate Lynn out of William & Mary. If you Google him, you get a really bad surface view of what he is because he's from a tiny school, so there are no highlight packages. Like, you have to actually watch him. You have to watch, like, just on YouTube footage, even. You have to watch complete games and just basically find him and watch the defense play. There's no cut-ups of any kind. And I didn't even really find any, like, all 22 for this guy. But you can still get a reasonably decent idea of what he is. 6'2", 250 edge, listed when you look up his relative athletic score as a defensive tackle for some reason, and it's not when he played. I don't know why. Not the position, not the size of the guy. His relative athletic score drops below 4 when you make him a defensive end. which you don't like. Not a super explosive guy. And he's a lot thicker than you would expect for a 250-pound person. He doesn't really fire off the line like James Houston. So why might they consider even going after this guy? He gets pressure. Like, he is good at rushing the passer, and he is a high motor, high effort guy. He sees the game in front of him extremely well, like much better than the vast majority of edges that you watch in terms of his ability to basically play through a block to the ball. So I suspect when they brought him in, they wanted to work him out to check if his bad performance was bad technique because he didn't have access to like one of the elite combine prep places or what, because he doesn't look like a terrible athlete on the field, but he also doesn't look like he weighs 250 pounds on the field. So I don't know. Darius Robinson, how do I actually feel about him? I don't think he'll be there at 29. I don't think good teams take a guy whose role is that he fills multiple spots in round one. I like the player. I just think that there's almost no chance that he puts up levels of production that make you pick up his fifth year option. And like, why are you taking a guy who's not going to do that in round one? That's my question there. Like, would getting a little bit more production out of the Kaminsky role be nice? Yes. Yes, it would. But how long is it before you actually get that from Robinson? Like, remember, he has 4 seasons of unproductive play as a defensive tackle. He has the body to do this job. But if he didn't switch to edge this year, we'd be looking at a 6th or 7th round or possibly undrafted free agent pick. So why are NFL teams asking him to bulk up and go back to the position that he wasn't good enough to do in college to merit this draft position? Like, are you making a first round pick based on his ability to badly play a second position? And if so, why would you do that? That is what the Cardinals did until they fired their general manager recently. not the team I want to be emulating. Like, if you can make that make sense, please do. Again, I have no problem with Darius Robinson. I do not think he is a first-round guy. But I think a team will think he is a first-round guy, because this is a mistake the NFL loves making more than anyone except the one I'm about to talk about, which is the Chop Robinson mistake. Super athletes who can't produce in college don't generally do better in the NFL. Lean keeps doing it anyway. Like, let someone else make that mistake. About 1/10 of the guys with this profile, super athlete, no counting stats. Very few of them do anything. And you can't helmet scout, but this is a thing with Penn State guys, is where they come out and put up ludicrous combines after doing nothing in college and get drafted highly. And like, how many times is the NFL going to let this strength and conditioning program fake them into believing that these are moldable guys who could do better? If the Lions do it, I'm going to assume they have a plan. I guess we'll roll with it. There are some pluses with Chop. Like, a lot of his pressures look a lot like Hutch's pressures, where they would be sacks for somebody else if anybody else had done anything on that play, but they didn't. You know, the ones where like a guy makes a Herculean effort to get there and nobody else on the line has moved their guy at all, so the quarterback can just dance away and make a play. So I guess there's a little reason to have hope if the Lions do make this pick. Let's see, what else we got here? Jalen Harrell. One of the Michigan guys I think the Lions might have looked at for reasons other than because they were allowed to look at all of them. The local pro day workouts, those visits. I think as like the hybrid edge who goes sometimes and drops into coverage other times, he may actually have a pretty decent career ahead of him. He's 6'3", 247, and kind of has the athletic numbers of a guy who would be a strong side linebacker if that was a commonly used thing. And the thing is, the Lions do use that a fair bit. So he's a good fit for the team. He played off ball for Michigan until David Ojabo and Hutch moved on. And he still kind of rushes like a blitzing linebacker. He's pretty upright, but he's added a few moves. Like, he's quick around the edge. He's added a few cuts inside. Got a kind of weird looking nice spin move that he puts on people that has been pretty effective. Really nice on stunts, twists. Day three pick. Potential makes sense. Doesn't have the power really to be a true edge at this point. Maybe he can put it on. I don't think so, but he kind of fits in that role that the Lions were wedging Jack Campbell into last year, where he's just kind of on the edge, sometimes coming forward, sometimes going back, sometimes going sideways. For the moment, he's probably just a relatively athletic special teams guy with a 250-pound body, which is still useful when you're talking about day three picks. Another day three guy is Troy's Javon Solomon. If there's a guy I think has watched a lot of James Houston tape in the last couple years, it's Javon Solomon. Unlike Harrell, he's not the kind of athlete that you have playing off the ball very much, despite kind of similar size profiles, except that he's shorter. He's got a great first step, wins hand fights, uses leverage pretty well, uses the length he does have, because he's only 6 feet tall, but he has a 6'6" wingspan. Pretty long arms for a guy who's that size. And his film doesn't really match the athletic testing, which wasn't good. It's a 4.840 is what he put up. So that's the one I remember off the top of my head. 4.8 something, which not great. But he plays a heads-up game, and the tape kind of says that there could be some positional versatility in terms of what he can bring to the table. Like, he moves around really nicely. He doesn't look like a guy who would have a low relative athletic score. And we're talking picks 200 and later. The versatility is kind of a selling point, as opposed to in the first round, where I think it's a detraction, if anything. Another guy they interviewed who has some game is Houston's Nelson Caesar. I like him a lot more than I like Solomon. There's just more power to his rush. Like, he's got really heavy hands for a guy that's not very big. And that's the thing with the edges that the Lions have spoken to, is they seem to be looking to kind of shore up that smaller edge spot or the Kaminsky role. That's sort of the two camps that they're actually focusing on, but it's also because that's mostly what's in this draft. But as far as Caesar goes, heavy hands, power rusher, burst off the line is good, and his third step is sometimes pretty crazy. really bendy guy, which is nice to see. Now it's just a matter of whether his not so spectacular athletic testing is something that that basically is good enough to be worked with in the NFL. He's not a guy you want dropping into coverage, not that kind of fluid athlete. Yeah, this guy has the size of that small guy, but he's probably more of a, we're going to ask him to put on 15, 20 over the next 2 years and have him be our backup Aiden Hutchinson. Skip day two completely. Chris Braswell, Alabama. How do you forget an Alabama player? This guy I love for the Lions, particularly if they are looking to expand that Houston role. 6'3", 250, ran a 4.640, relative athletic score just under 9. Different level of athlete from the guys I have been speaking about for the last little while here. Puts running backs in the dirt as a tackler. Like he gets off blocks. He stays aware of the play beyond his blocker. These are all things the Lions love. These are things I love. He forces fumbles. He blocks kicks. The thing he doesn't have is like an extra gear to get around the edge, which is partially because he's already moving at a speed that's faster than some of these other guys in his like second gear. So the fact that he doesn't have a third gear is because he's already going that fast. If he could figure out how to meter that and not be going full speed, he'd be a lot more versatile as a pass rusher. But like some coaches are going to love what he's doing right now, where he just goes all out full speed, no stop. That's Jim Schwartz. That's Chris Kusurik. Defensive line coaches in a lot of spots want something that's a little more nuanced than that. Like that first step get off is awesome, but if you can vary it in with somewhere you don't go full speed right away and then pick it up to get around the guy, also works really well too. And whether he can develop that nuance is really kind of the Braswell question here, because he's still really good without it. If he can develop it, he will be a lot better. It's one of those guys where you could see him go in the second or third and end up having him kind of outshine a lot of the guys who go higher over the years. And when I say that I don't see a lot of difference between the guys who are going to go in the second, third, and the guys who are going to go in the fifth, sixth, it's not that there are not differences. The second, third guys are higher end athletes, but the guys in the fifth, sixth are better technicians. It's just a matter of whether their athleticism is good enough versus whether the athletes can pick up any level of technical ability, which seems like that technical ability would be easier to teach. But a lot of those guys just never get it because they've never had to. They may or may not have the ability or capacity to pick that up. One more guy I wanted to talk about. Austin Booker has been connected to the Lions quite a bit too. Super raw. The reason is because he got 23 defensive snaps prior to this college season at Minnesota. He moved to Kansas, wasn't a starter, but he played like a starter's number of snaps and lit the Big 12 on fire. I don't love his bend. He's kind of an upright guy and he's small. He was 240 at the combine. Don't love that, but he was 253 at his pro day and he put up basically the same athletic numbers, a little less jumpy at that 253 weight, but that's like, you shouldn't put on that much weight in a month. That's not good weight. Like, they're gonna have to get him in a strength and conditioning program in order to kind of develop that. Right now he feels really Devin Taylor-ish to me, and that is, as Lions fans know, probably not a great thing. He's longer than most of the guys I've been talking about. Like, he's tall and has reasonably long arms. He's a project. And I don't know if you do a project in the second or third round. I guess the Lions quite often do. So he's a name to keep your eyes on. That's really all I have to say about the edge class. See you all.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Woo! Let's go, baby.
Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions!
You've had enough of that shit.